Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And we are back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson here, along with Steve Jordahl. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And Ray Pritchard in Kansas City. Good to have you guys with us. If you're wondering what happened to Tim, Tim had to go to a graduation ceremony, I think, for one of his grandchildren. One of those things this morning. So he's doing the good granddad thing.
Thank goodness. Thought it was me.
There you go. Well, I tell you what, it's another busy news day. The big stories we've been covering so far today, the tragedy outside of that Jewish museum in Washington, D.C. last night, where two employees of the Israeli embassy were shot and killed. There's a guy arrested. As he was being taken into custody, he was screaming, "Free Palestine." So it seems to be yet another incident of gross anti-Semitism that we are seeing across this country. The guy will be prosecuted. The Attorney General Pam Bondi was at the scene last evening saying this guy will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. We also have a tragic event in San Diego overnight, 3:30 this morning. An executive jet crashed into a neighborhood. They say there are multiple fatalities there. It looks like a war zone. And the Supreme Court decision this morning with regards to that proposed charter school, Catholic charter school in Oklahoma. Supreme Court went to a split decision, 4-4. Amy Coney Barrett had recused herself in that case. And so the lower court decision stands, which means that charter school will not go forward. But there are other stories. You know, back, was it a month or so ago that the Ukrainian president was in Washington, D.C.?
This was Zelensky.
And we had on camera, live, a verbal... There's a phrase in hockey called Donnybrook.
Yes.
We had a verbal Donnybrook.
Verbal Donnybrook. Right.
Live to the world.
Uh-huh.
Where President Trump and the Vice President, Vance, really took on the Ukrainian president, saying, you know, basically, yeah, you're not doing enough to end this horrible war.
Right.
Well, we all thought, man, that was historic. That kind of thing will never happen again.
That was amateur hour, Fred.
All of that to say, there was another Donnybrook of sorts, Steve, yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
In the Oval Office. Tell us about that.
This was going to go down as one of the... for those of you who are like of Gen Z gangster moves, President Trump... had a visit from the president of South Africa yesterday. And, of course, one of the things that has been in the news has been the immigration, I guess, of some refugees from South Africa, some white refugees, because there are claims that there is a genocide going on in South Africa of the...
White farmers.
And this is the kind of the backlash from the racist regime that was there before, apartheid, that was there in South Africa before. Anyway, the South African president, and I'm looking up his name, is Ramaphosa, I think. He visited the White House, was sitting there, and he knew this was going to come up. He brought a couple of white South African golfers, Retief Goosen, one of them, and he brought some other staff that was white. But President Trump was not in a mood to take any of this. So this was the discussion that happened in the Oval Office. You're going to start, you're going to hear the South African president, and then you're going to hear Donald Trump, and then you're going to hear something that I probably think is going to live in the brain of the South African president for years to come, that he will shudder every time he hears the phrase, "dim the lights," cut 11.
I would say if there was Afrikaner farmer genocide, I can bet you these three gentlemen would not be here, including my Minister of Agriculture. He would not be with me. So it'll take him... President Trump listening to their stories, to their perspective. That is the answer to your question.
But, Mr. President, I must say that we have... No, wait. We have thousands of stories talking about it.
Sure.
And we have documentaries. We have news stories. And that is Natalie here? Somebody here to turn that? I could show you a couple of things. And I would... It has to be responded to.
Yeah, sure. We have,
let me see the articles, please, if you would. And turn the lights down. Turn the lights down and just put this on. It's right behind you. Johan.
There's nothing this parliament can do. With or without you, people are going to occupy land. We require no permission from you, from the president, from no one.
And there is the leader of a South African opposition party saying, we're going to take your land, we're not going to give you a dime for it, and you're going to sit and be happy with it, basically.
I tell you, Ray, I was sitting in my office yesterday. This all unfolded about noon or so Central Time.
Ramaphosa yes. is the name of the president.
Ramaphosa, yes. So they're sitting in the Oval Office. If you've watched some of these visits by these international leaders, they're sitting in the President Trump and the visitor sitting in these yellow chairs in the Oval Office. And the delegation yesterday from South Africa is on the left-hand side sitting on some couches. And then Vice President Vance was there. And I think Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, on the other side. So that's the setting. And then they're talking. These conversations going on.
Right.
And then President Trump... There's a video. They set up this video screen, and so while President Ramaphosa of South Africa is trying to say, "Hey, it's not really as bad as what you're hearing about white farmers in South Africa being killed," then the video begins to show, and one of the images in this video was a roadway in South Africa lined by crosses. And the crosses represent white farmers who have been killed in this. And then, as you heard there, there's another African political leader who is talking about killing the white farmers. So it was a moment when the South African leader, Ray, was confronted with the truth. And I don't think he was ready for what President Trump was going to do.
You know, that's hard to understand. This President Ramaphosa. Did he not know what happened to Mr. Zelensky?
Oh.
Did he not learn anything from what happened a few? Shouldn't he have known this was going to come up? You know, in the old days, you can't imagine George W. Bush, good man, but you can't imagine him doing this. H.W., you can't. Ronald Reagan, you cannot imagine them doing this, which is one thing that drives people across the spectrum, some of them just nuts, because Donald Trump, like him or not, he's not afraid to break the norms
yes.
and confront people with reality and with the truth. Also kind of funny is that it's there's a little before the thing goes on, he's going, okay, get the lights. It's over there. It's over there behind you on the wall, but get the lights, you know, like it's something that's happened in a junior high assembly. Okay. But God bless President Trump, because the president of South Africa, his only answer seemed to be, this can't be true because these men wouldn't have come with me if it were true. He did not have an answer for the road with all the crosses beside it. Had no answer. I thought it was a defining moment that President Trump is not going to let these bad actors come into the White House and pretend everything's okay when it's not.
There is a story that is told by somebody that was actually in the room. I didn't bring the audio in, but it is Donald Trump, and he's negotiating withdrawal from Afghanistan, and he's negotiating with the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting on a couch, and the Taliban leader is sitting across from him, and there's a translator, of course. And so President Trump says to the Taliban leader, "We're going to withdraw from Afghanistan." The translator goes, "We're going to withdraw from Afghanistan. But there's conditions." Okay. But there are conditions. "Tell him that if he hurts the one single hair out of an American, if one single American is hurt, I'm going to kill him." And the translator looks at him and goes, "Are you? No, tell him." So he says, "Okay, Mr. President says, if you harm the hair on one single American, he's going to kill you." At which point, Donald Trump pulls out a picture, a satellite image of the Taliban leader's home,
no,
hands it to him, and walks out of the room.
We know where you live.
Exactly.
Sleep well, buddy.
This guy, and he said, you know what? Not a single American was killed in Afghanistan until the disastrous withdrawal under Joe Biden.
I'm told by folks who have worked in other administrations, these kinds of things happen behind closed doors. But with President Trump, it's all out there. You know, he's not going to hide this at all. And it's going to be interesting to see.
If I insult you, I'm going to do it in public.
Yeah.
If I threaten you, I'm going to do it in front of the whole world.
Yeah. And it was interesting. Vice President Vance and Secretary of Defense Hegseth, they were sitting on the couch there and they were smiling like, listen, the whole world has just seen this.
You know what else is pretty gangster? You know what else is pretty intense? You know who President Trump had standing behind him on behind the couch he's sitting on? Elon Musk.
Yes.
Elon Musk, who's a white South African. African, who's now an American citizen, there were some pictures of him, and one of the pictures was captioned, "This Musk looks like he's about ready to jump across the couch and strangle the South African president from the look on his face." Now, it's interesting because the mainstream media does not like this narrative of the genocide in South Africa, that anything bad could happen to white people, that white people are being given any kind of privilege of emigration to this country. And it may be the fact that there are reporters and they just weren't paying a whole lot of attention, but an NBC reporter decided to...
In the midst of all of this,
they're talking about a genocide. They're talking about the death and killing of thousands or hundreds, at least, of farmers and the appropriation of farmland without any compensation. And NBC thinks it's a good time to ask this question. Cut 12.
The Pentagon announced that it would be accepting a Qatari jet to be used as Air Force One.
What are you talking about? You to get out of here. What does this have to do with the Qatari jet? They're giving the United States Air Force a jet, okay? And it's a great thing. We're talking about a lot of other things. It's NBC trying to get off the subject of what you just saw. You are a real, you know, you're a terrible reporter. Number one, you don't have what it takes to be a reporter. You're not smart enough. But for you to go into a subject about a jet that was given to the United States Air Force, which is a very nice thing, they also gave $5.1 trillion worth of investment in addition to the jet. You ought to go back to your studio at NBC because...
And that's another aspect, Ray, of this administration and Donald Trump. I don't think there'll be another Donald Trump ever as far as presidents in this country.
How could there be? There could not be another person like that.
You know, he started the whole narrative of fake media. He's been willing, and you know what? He is exactly right. That reporter from NBC yesterday did not want to deal with the truth of what was being told about the situation in South Africa. He wanted to take the whole conversation in another direction, and President Trump, Ray, was not buying it.
You know, we use the expression, clean your clock. And that reporter got his clock cleaned on national TV for the world to see. Yeah.
So the rest of the media didn't get scolded in the White House, but there was apparently a memo that went out from D.C., the Democrat National Headquarters, to all of the mainstream media outlets. And it's interesting. When this happens, there's a phrase or a word or something that usually pops up, and you can tell it's coordinated because everybody's using the same phrase or word. Listen to Cut 13.
The tense confrontation, President Trump ambushing the president of South Africa.
Up next, another Oval Office meltdown, President Trump ambushing the president of South Africa.
President Trump is being accused of conducting something of a diplomatic ambush of South Africa's president in the Oval Office.
Felt like an ambush in there, kind of like the President Zelensky meeting in the Oval Office.
This was an ambush.
Nothing could have prepared him for this multimedia ambush.
What started as
to some degree an ambush.
Well, Katie, I mean, it was an ambush.
Ambush.
Ambushed. Ambushed.
An ambush.
Ambushing.
Ambushed. Ambushed inside the Oval Office.
I don't know. Did you hear anything, Ray, that was consistent throughout that?
Was there something about an ambush? Did I hear the word ambush?
You might have. What's her for it?
Evidently, the memo went out, and everybody was instructed, use that word.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys, it is more evidence of where the mainstream media and where journalism is, for the most part, in this country. These reporters, NBC, CBS, CNN, whatever the case may be, I think it is Pew Research has done some surveys through the years. 90% of the reporters vote Democrat.
Oh, at least.
And
I'd be surprised if it's that.
The discipline,
right.
The discipline in news journalism is gone. It is gone. They have become political activists, which explains so much, Steve. And I know we've been covering stories, and it's been out there, this new book that's put out by Jake Tapper about, you know, well, the White House lied to us about the condition of Joe Biden. That's not true. It was their job, as was the American people saw it in the last couple of years of Joe Biden, but they were willing to try to hide the mental deterioration of Joe Biden. And now that you've got this guy at CNN who's written this book, like, we really didn't see it ourselves, and they're blaming the White House for trying to hide this, when in reality, hey, Fox News, they reported on it the whole time.
As did we, by the way.
And we did as well. And so it is just, is it any wonder why, Ray, when the polls are being taken about trust in mainstream media, it has absolutely plummeted. Absolutely plummeted.
Well, people don't trust the government. They don't trust the media. They don't trust the establishment news sources. And I think if you graph it, it was rising anyway. But once the pandemic and COVID-19 hit, I think the level of distrust of the government has been, and our leaders. Uh-huh. So are we surprised that we were lied to about Joe Biden's health? No. Not at all. I think it's sad to say, Fred, we've almost come to expect that of our leaders.
You know what's sad about the Biden story, Steve, is, and some people are digging into this now, is that his wife, Jill Biden, she had to know this. She had to see this in her husband. And if the story is true, that he's been diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer, she had to know this.
I've heard the term elder abuse thrown out several times, heard it thrown out several times with regard to her. There was some ambition in that within that family. It's legend, the ambition of the Biden family. Uh-huh. And I think she bought into that. It depends on how cynical you want to be, but there are several things that come to my mind and theories that I've heard that probably the most cynical one is that they knew. They knew that he was obviously they knew he was mentally compromised, but they knew for a long time that he had cancer. They needed to get him through the election, at which point, breaking news, Joe Biden has cancer, he's going to step down, or they let him live out his life until he passes away, and then all of a sudden, Kamala Harris is now president. Yeah. She gets to finish his term, and then she gets two terms of her own, according to their thoughts. Now, I don't think she would have been within the first week shown to be not have the capacity to be the president. So she would have had two other terms. But there's a thought that this was the plan all along. They knew, they had to know, and that they were just trying to get to the first woman president.
And the June 2024 debate, Ray, it was sent by God. It had to be, because they could no longer lie about his condition.
That was the worst performance by a major presidential candidate on the debate stage I think we've ever seen. And that moment when Donald Trump looked at Joe Biden and said, I don't know what he was saying. I don't think he knows what he was saying. Yeah. And all of America nodded because what he said didn't make any sense. And it was sad that you could no longer simply say, well, this Republican, we saw how he performed on that stage up there. It was awful.
Yeah. Apparently, Steve, in this book that Jake Tapper has put out, is that he talks about he was one of the people hosting that debate last June. Jake.
Oh, yes, he was. Yeah.
And he wrote a note to the producers when they saw how Joe Biden was failing mentally right there on the stage live before America. Was it Dana?
Dana Bash.
Dana Bash was also there. I think she wrote, Joe Biden just lost the election.
Yeah.
This is in the midst of all of this. They realized they couldn't hide it anymore.
Yeah. And it is amazing to see Jake Tapper go around and act. I mean, he's selling a book, so
yes.
He's got to do something. But to act the part of, I didn't know. It's not very credible.
Yeah. Anyway, we just got a few minutes left. You got something else for
us? Yeah, let's talk about artificial intelligence. Did you know, folks, if you are sitting out there, mom and dad, and your son or daughter is home from school for the summer, and you want to keep them involved, you don't want them sitting in front of the TV all day, so you get them a reading list. Here's some books we want you to read, right? Well, an author has helpfully published a list which was reprinted in several large, important papers.
Like the New York Times?
I think it was the the Philadelphia Inquirer was one of them. Mm-hmm. And
big newspapers.
Big newspapers. And, we found out the Chicago Sun-Times was another. We found out something about this.
This list?
Listen to Cut 14.
This summer reading list ran in multiple national newspapers today. But when people started actually reading it, they noticed something very strange about the actual text. For example, it promotes a new book by author Andy Weir, the guy that wrote The Martian, called The Last Algorithm, and it has a whole plot summary here. The problem is, this book doesn't exist. 10 of the 15 books on their summer reading list for 2025 don't exist. And you already know why. It turns out the author used AI to write it, ChatGPT or something similar. So readers all across the country are hearing about a new book by Percival Everett called The Rainmakers. This book will never arrive. 404 Media actually interviewed the guy who wrote the list named Marco Buscaglia, who admits he uses AI to write his articles but says he normally checks these things. This time, this one just slipped through. You know, the entire article. AI did not hear. If I let my dog drive my car and the dog drives the car off a bridge, the headlines should not say, dog crashes car. I crashed the car when I put the dog at the wheel. I made the mistake. The entire future hangs on whether or not we will hold people responsible for what the AI does.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, we can tell people anything that Ray Pritchard has written has not been written by AI.
That's exactly right. And think about that, Fred. You're saying there were 15 books on the list, and 10 of them were completely made up, fictitious books.
Amazing.
How is that possible? What was ChatGPT thinking?
I don't know, but I did hear about the new book from Ray Pritchard on the Book of Hezekiah. So right, I'm looking forward to that one.
Coming out next week. That's right. From Phantom Publishers.
All right, guys. Great to be with you today. And thank you, Steve. Thank
Pleasure.
You, Chris. Good to be with you. And also, Ray, hope that you have a great weekend.
Thank you, and you too.
All right. And keep writing. And your website is what?
Keepbelieving.com.
Keepbelieving.com.
Right. None of it is AI. It's just all our stuff.
Guaranteed.
Come check us out.
Guaranteed. All right. And thank you to our producer, Brent Creeley. All right, folks. More great programming ahead here on American Family Radio. Don't go away. We'll see you again real soon.